I want to just start by saying that my name is Holly Vaughn. The Vaughns had asked, you know, that I would speak and what the Lord would lay on my heart. And forever ago, I really believed that the Lord had laid on my heart worship. And it's because it's important. And then we get here this weekend, and what have we heard about all weekend long? Worship. And I'm looking at my girls going, that was my notes. Like, they just, everything, every single thing. And so I ask that you pray for me, even right now, because I'm nervous. I this is not my comfort at all. However, I want to be used of the Lord. But last night, I'm sitting there, and I'm going, Lord, I just don't want to be repetitive. And they have heard amazing. I can't add to Carol Trahan or Ed Moore or Harold Vaughn. You know, they're like it. And, you know, we have our spiritual superstars, which I think is good. You know, let's not worship basketball players and rock stars. But Carol Trahan walks by, and I'm like, oh. You know, she rode the elevator with us, and I'm like wanting to just touch her. You know, just look. I know her, you know? and so I'm sitting there last night, and I'm going, Lord, I genuinely don't know what to say to these ladies. And so I believe the Lord has given me this, and it does, we are going to talk a little bit about worship, but it's really more about how we get to that heart of worship. And so I'm going to just open up in prayer, and I ask that you pray for me because I am nervous. I don't enjoy this. I love to share God's word, and I love to speak to ladies one-on-one. Yeah. but this makes me a nervous wreck. And but I believe what we're going to talk about this morning, for me personally, this is firsthand. God has used this in my life, and I want to share it with you ladies. So let's just open a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you so much for being a good God. I just thank you for this weekend and for the ladies that you have brought here. Lord, I pray that although we are physically tired, Lord, that we would not allow that to hinder your spirit to talk to us even this morning. Lord, I pray that as we leave here, we'll take all the things that we've heard, and Lord, not just be hearers of the word, but we would be doers. Lord, I pray that you would calm my nerves, that you would give me the words that only you would have me to say. I pray that you be with the other sessions, where we just love you. And I just praise you, and I thank you for what you've done in my heart, even this weekend. And we're just going to ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Starting out in a good cry, right? That's a good way to start. Another thing, I'm a hand talker, so this is going to be hard. I want to just start by saying, when we think of the word worship, so often we think of church service, right? We have our 11 o'clock worship hour or worship service, and I love worship. I love to sing. I had a prayer advance many, many years ago. The Lord had dealt with my heart about singing out to the Lord. I'm not a great singer, but I don't think that it says that we should be great singers. It just says that we should sing. And I really allowed that spirit of fear to hinder me in my worship to the Lord in a church setting. And so it was at a prayer advance many years ago that I told the Lord that I would stop allowing the fear of man to hinder how I worship the Lord in a public setting. And thank you, Mrs. Craig. She's always got the goods. And and I came home from that prayer advance, and my husband and I, he was the assistant pastor at Bible Baptist Temple there in Stonewood, and I moved to sit behind the deaf ministry. You know why? Because they can't hear me. And that's where we sat until the day we left. And the Lord called us to start Hope's Point Baptist Church in Weston, West Virginia. When the Lord called us, we don't have a deaf ministry now. So I just sit on the front row. No one can hear me. And I can't see people behind me looking like, you know. But worship had to be something that the Lord had to free in me, in a sense. But it's still kind of not truthful thinking, because worship is not just singing. Worship is so much more than just singing. And being not just in ministry, because it has nothing to do with ministry, but have you ever had a season in life or a time in life when you just don't feel like singing? You just don't feel it. you know, and it's just not there, and you want it to be there. Or I've heard ladies tell me, I just don't have a song. And that is true in the setting, but that's not what worship is. That's not what worship is. Sometimes life is overwhelming. 2018 has been an overwhelming year for me. Probably in my, I was messing with the teen girls yesterday, asking them how old they thought I was, and I was loving it because they're giving me all these great answers. And that back there in the back, she came in, her and her friend, a little bit late. And so I thought, you know, I'll just welcome them into the group. And they told me they thought I looked 40. And I told them they had to leave. Anyway, I don't know where that was going. Oh, health. 2018 was a rough year for me. I went from being normal, I mean, not like normal, but normal for me, right, to like not. I was sick. And it's just been truthful. I've just been miserable. That's how I have felt. I have had no energy. And I like to go, 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 go. I just do. I like that. And I've had to slow down, and I've had to stop. 2018 was hard, physically speaking. So health can be discouraging, and that can take our focus off marriage. Sometimes it's just a battle. You know, the greatest fights that we fight can be in our home. Finances can be non-existent. Family is struggling. Friendships are absent. Work seems worthless. Church feels empty. We've all had these feelings of emotion, and they are times and seasons in life where it does. It affects our inner man. It affects our being. And the list can just go on and on and on, right? But I know from personal experiences that all of these issues cause my spirit to be weakened, and it steals my joy because I allow it to. When the rest of the congregation is singing out to the Lord in worship, I just sit there, or I just stand there, because I don't feel it. And worship is so much more, though, than just that singing. Worship is an attitude of the heart. But sometimes you can't help but to feel broken, or sometimes I'll even say to myself, I feel like I'm defected, like there's something wrong with me. And I have to remind myself that worship is not about me. Worship is, the word worship means to adore. It means to honor with submission. It means to show reverence or respect. That's what worship is. So nowhere in those definitions does it say when you feel like it or when the emotions follow. And so heartfelt worship doesn't come from that moment. It comes from a lifestyle of how you live. So I want to go into the Bible. And again, this is not at all what the Lord had given me 3 months ago. This is from last night. So bear with me, okay? I hope I can express it in a way that would honor and please God. But for me, and I'm talking from personal experience, the Lord used this passage of Scripture in my heart and in my life. So at a prayer advance many, many, many moons ago, I was praying for a baby. The Lord, we had gotten married, and like within 6 months, I was pregnant, and I'm like, what am I going to do with a baby? You know, like, you got to take care of these things. I'm just a baby myself, you know? I wasn't ready to have a baby, but the Lord brought us our son, and what a blessing he was. And I didn't realize how good of a kid he was until he was older. But anyway, a few years later, I'd like to have another baby. And it just didn't happen. And it just didn't happen. And it just didn't happen. And it just didn't happen to the point of overwhelming burdens. And I'm looking around going, I should be grateful for the blessings that I have. And I should have been, right? But I couldn't help but just desire so badly that baby. And there was nothing wrong with it. The Bible tells us to be fruitful and multiply. So I don't think I was sinful in praying for a baby. That wasn't wrong. However, when you allow it to consume you, it can become what we talked about, an idol. And so it was at a prayer advance, though, that I had said, I had given it to the Lord. Lord, I just don't know. I want a baby. And Mrs. Craig comes up to me, and of course our church family knew my heart and they knew my struggle. And Mrs. Craig comes up to me and says, Holly, don't you see? The Lord has given you other children. He had brought our nephew into our home. He had brought a boy off of out of our church youth group. When he was 15, he came to live with us. He's 24 now. I love to go through Walmart, and he calls me mom, you know, and he's real big, and people look like, that's my kid, you know. I would have been 11. So anyway, but it was eye-opening to me that I was looking at my way, how I expected God to give me, you know, my will, my way, and I was missing out on the fact that God had given me children, just not the way that I had pictured it or assumed it should have happened. And it was like peace just came over me. And when I turned 29, and I said, Dan, which is my husband, if by my 30th birthday the Lord doesn't open my womb, if by my 30th birthday we don't have another baby, I said, let's pray about adoption. Let's seek a different route, because I know my heart is for children and that's what I want. And so on my 29th birthday, that's what we talked about. If in a year nothing happens, then we'll know that this is God just saying, seek me in different ways. And 6 weeks later, I was pregnant. And it was like, what? You know, and it's funny to say now, but another one of the other assistant pastor's wife at the time, I was walking through the hall at church on a Wednesday night, and I am just like grouchy. And she's like, what's wrong with you? And I don't know. I can't stand my family. And she went, you're pregnant? No, I'm not. Like, why would that even cross your mind? And so I went home. I'm like, So I got the pregnancy test, and I'm like, Miss Sue, I'm pregnant. Can you believe this? Like, that's crazy. And she knew because I was mad. I'm mad all the time. That doesn't mean that, you know. Anyway, so fast forward. The Lord gives me my blessing. She was my answered prayer. I think of Hannah's prayer in the Bible, and she was that for me. She was my answer to prayer. But she was colicky. And she had acid reflux. And if any of you, my people, would they know her? She was not a pleasant child. It's the truth. You know, nursery workers, oh, there comes Olivia. And that blessing that God had given me turned into the darkest season in my life. And I really battled postpartum depression. And we don't talk about that as Christians, do we? Let's just pretend like that doesn't exist. And I believed the lies of the devil or myself or whatever, that I had to keep all that and hoard that emotional stuff. I had to keep it here because I can't tell somebody that I'm struggling. I'm an assistant pastor's wife. We're going to start a church. You start telling people that you're struggling with depression and they're going to cut you out of their life, right? And the Lord had to reveal himself to me in mighty ways, because I was down. I was having suicidal thoughts. We don't talk about that either, do we? But I was. And the Lord had to bring me out of that. But it wasn't because Holly did it. It was because God brought me out. He had to show me some things. And this is the passage of scripture that God used in my heart and in my life. So if you turn to the Bible in 1 Kings, I want to talk about Elijah. And you're probably thinking, like, well, how does this have to do with worship? Well, because when you go through this, when you walk out on the other end, you can worship the Lord. And so there in 1 Kings chapter 19, I want to look at how Elijah's depression overtook him and how God ministered to him and drew him back out. Elijah was in a season of life where the emotions of depression, it took over. He didn't feel like worshiping. He didn't even feel like anything. But God drew him back and renewed his spirit. And that's what we've talked about this weekend. Renew, refresh, revive. And that's what God does for Elijah here. 1 Kings 19, it says, but he, verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. We're talking about Elijah, and he came, and he sat under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Elijah was having suicidal thoughts. No. Yeah. And depression is going to look differently on everybody. So some people can put a smile on and you would never know. I don't know how I looked. I know how I felt, but I don't know from the outside how I looked. I don't know if people knew that I was struggling, but I knew internally I was done. There was nothing left to give. So I want to look, and some of it is chemical. Some of it's hormonal. Some of it's spiritual. And to rule one way or another, different things, you know, we could talk all day long about it being a spiritual battle. And it is. But let me tell you, I believe the postpartum, the other things going on inside of me, what was driving it? You know, it was making it a whole lot harder. And anyway, so it looks differently on all of us. Everyone can struggle differently. And depression, for some people, doesn't have to be the pits of despair. Sometimes it's the blues of the day. I just don't feel good. I just don't feel whatever. And so it can look differently on everybody. But Elijah had these negative thoughts. He's telling himself. So sometimes depression is caused by circumstances. For me, it was the baby. You know, I'm rocking her, crying, going, Lord, she's a blessing. I've prayed for this. But I was overwhelmed. No one wanted a babysitter. And I didn't blame them. Because she cried all the time. But depression can be caused by different things. It could be caused because of marital issues. It could be health issues. It could be spiritual issues. It could be, you name it. It could be whatever. But it doesn't change the fact that that's where you are. So we don't even know what the future is going to hold, but we just know that it's dark. It's bleak. I don't see anything. And here, we're looking at Elijah, and he had just came out of a mountaintop experience. He had just called fire down. I mean, he like wiped out people. Like, this is crazy stuff. Okay? And God is revealing himself in this big, mighty way. And Elijah is like the man. He is the one there being used of God. He is up here. Guess where we are right now? On a mountaintop. Ladies, we have just been a weekend of like crazy awesome God stuff, right? And we're going to get ready to go home.
I think we ran out of
battery. Oh, good.
I knew you'd say that.
Thank you.
If it goes out again, just make sure you speak loud enough. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Sorry. Oh, you are good. We are good here. Anyway, so Elijah was just coming from this mountaintop experience, and that's exactly where we are right now. How many of you feel good? You are ready to go home. I mean, I am ready to go home. I'm afraid what home is going to look like. I am. I'm just being real. I'm so afraid of what it's going to look like when I get there. But I am ready to go home spiritually. I can't wait for church tomorrow. I am so excited to go home and sit in church tomorrow and look at my church people and go, man, God is good. I just wish you could have tasted what we just had, you know. And we're excited. And that's exactly where Elijah was. He just, whoa, you know. He just saw God firsthand in his mighty, his power. And he's on this mountaintop experience. And guess what happens? Boom. And that's how it hits us too. We don't plan it. We don't plan an attack. We don't plan for our feelings or our emotions to take a turn for the worse, but it happens. The enemy, Satan, desires to keep us though there in the dark, but God wants us to come to him because he is light. I love it, and I'm just gonna try to read through it quickly. 1 John 1:4-7 says, "And these things write I unto you that your joy may be full. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin." So, ladies, when we're in our darkness, a lot of times it's because we've strayed from the light. We have shut out the light. And for me, I felt like God doesn't even want to deal with me. That's how I felt, because I knew that my faulty thinking was taking control. So Elijah has been on this mountaintop experience. God was answering specific prayers. He gives the deliverance. He blesses. And then all of a sudden, we take a dive into the wilderness. And we don't plan it. We don't expect it. It just happens. And so today, some of you might be going home, and you don't know what you're going to face. You don't know. But some of you might have already been in the wilderness, and you're coming up to your mountain. I don't know. But God knows. Something that I have to remind myself of often is that the lies of the devil, he is the father of lies. And so the things that I do tell myself, or the things that I hear, if they're not truth, I love Philippians where it says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever, I'm going to butcher it, please don't judge me. You know, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. So when I dwell on God's word, my thinking will change. So God had just given this miraculous victory, and now the queen, she's gonna take him out, right? And what's crazy to me is he runs in fear of his life, but then he sits down and goes, "What? End my life?" And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, why wouldn't, you know? But our brains don't make sense, you know? We can't help it. So it's easy for us to look, and I was talking to the girls yesterday about this. It's easy for us to look at the Bible like this, as an overhead, you know, and judge. Like we judge Jonah, right? Because, I can't believe he would run away, you know? But if God called me to go to Nineveh right then and there, and I probably would have been like, I don't know, you know? But we judge because we see the end result, and we're like, hello? But Jonah didn't have the end result. And Elijah doesn't have the end result. But we do. And so we kind of tend to, like, put a negative judgment. Oh, good. Okay. So we tend to have a negative judgment because we see the end, and they didn't. So here is Elijah. And he runs. And we do the same thing. We run. We find Elijah sitting underneath that juniper tree in the wilderness, and he's having these suicidal thoughts. He thought about taking his own life. He said, God, just take it. Just wipe me out. And I was there. I journaled. I'm not a good journaler, but I was journaling when I was in that pit of despair. And I would scare myself because I knew I needed to get my thoughts out of my head, so I would write them down. And I would write them down, and I would scare myself. Did that just come out of me? And then the Lord would bring scripture to my mind to fight that. And so with every lie that I would put from my head to paper, God's word would contradict that. But we have to know God's word for it to work like that. And so Elijah, like days, you know, right here, God just delivered him, showed great deliverance, mighty power. And Elijah had already forgotten. So ladies, as we go home, don't forget this weekend. Don't forget what God has given you. Don't forget. I will try to be somewhat fast. I'm a gabber. We have those same feelings and emotions, but I love it where, and I'm not going to read the scriptures, but you can write them down. God fights for us. He's always with us. Hebrews 13:5, Exodus 14:14. You know, we forget who is with us. He's with us at all the time. He's all the time. He's always with us. When we get to this point of serious darkness, God has never left your side. Most of the time we run and we crumble underneath our own feelings, our own emotions, our own burdens. We are the ones to crumble under peer pressure or whatever. My children, you know, they never leave me alone. You know, they're always there. And I crumble. But God is always there too. He's always there. And we talked about this, and I won't even read the passage again. So we've talked about it all weekend long. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. It says, pulling down the strongholds, casting down everything that exalts itself above God, And I had to do that in my life personally. So if that's where you are, if you are in that state right now, number one, speak out. Talk to somebody. That's the first thing. Who cares what people think? My rightness with God is more important than your view of me. And so if I'm fearful that you're going to judge me because I say I'm struggling, then the problem is more you, really, if you're going to judge me. But most of the time, ladies, we find that we don't judge. We find that someone goes, I needed to hear that because I'm struggling too. That's what we need, is we need to be real with each other, because so often we think that we are going to, you know, I'll get through this, I'll get out of it, I've got this, and you don't even realize that it wasn't for you, it was for her. God, you helped me to, you brought me through something, not for Holly, I mean, it helped me, but for her. Lord, you've given me a second chance. Lord, you have whatever, fill in the blank, not for Holly, but for someone else. But when we keep it all in, when we allow our pride to say, I can't let them know that I'm struggling with my faith. I can't let them know that I don't want to go to church today. Last Sunday morning, I didn't feel good, and I just didn't want to go to church. That's the truth. And I thought of every reason in the book, no one would judge me. If I just said I don't feel well, it's the truth. And you know what? I got up, and I thought, but God, I need you. I need you. And I get to church, and guess what? This lady comes up to me, and she says, I just need to talk to you. And I got to share scripture. I got to pray with someone. Why? Because they needed me, but I needed God. So Elijah had to get down to the negative thoughts. The next thing Elijah had to do, I love this. Again, 1 Kings, it was Elijah's physical needs. So it says, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. I like to eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake. I don't know what kind of a cake it was, but I can imagine it was a vanilla cake with buttercream icing. Bacon on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. That was 1 Kings 19, 5 through 8. So often we are fighting battles, spiritually speaking, but sometimes our physical bodies need something. Now, I am the chiefest of sinners when it comes to junk food. It's the truth. I have a sweet tooth. Oh, my goodness, do I have a sweet tooth. And my church ladies are making it worse. They're bringing me Oreos all the time. And I'll tell them, like, please stop. And they don't. And, you know, I do. I love Reese eggs. Oh, my goodness. I love them. You know, I do love vanilla cake with buttercream icing. That's my favorite. Love it. Weddings. I'm like, I don't care who's getting married. I'm going, you know, I'm getting cake. And that's my favorite. But I'm filling myself with junk. And then I wonder why I feel lethargic. And I'm not, I mean, I am. I think holistic is good. I think God has given us a medical, you know, he's given doctors brains and God uses the medical field, but he also gives us brains to stop eating the Slim Jims as much as I eat them, you know? I mean, he has given us a brain to know that I need to put health into my physical bodies just like I would want to put health into my spiritual body. So junk in, junk out, right? That goes physically speaking and spiritually speaking. Do you remember those commercials? I forget, it's been forever ago. And I just remember the lady walking through the airport and it had two donuts on her. And I was younger then. And I'm like, yeah, right. It's not funny anymore. it's actually depressing when I sit and I look in the mirror and I go, yep, that one was that Pop-Tart. And because I do. I love junk food. And Elijah, God, before God ever dealt with his spirit, he dealt with his physical body. God made him food. He sent an angel to minister to him, and he drank water. I'm a water drinker. I am that. That's one good thing that I have. I love water, and I drink tons of it. I just pair it with cake as well, but not the kind of cake that the Lord ministered to Elijah with here. But God meant he touched his physical body. He touched his physical body. We rule out the fact that our bodies are tired. Even God rested, right? And 7 days, on the seventh day, God rested. He made this awesome, beautiful creation, and God said, I'm just going to take a break. I don't think God needed the break. I do. I do need that break, but I don't give it to myself because there's too much that's got to get done. And really, when we do that to ourselves, we have just created a valley because we're not taking care of the physical needs. We're not taking care of ourselves in that way. I need to eat healthier. That's the truth. I do. I don't think that you should cut it out cold turkey. My children would probably, I would be sent away. Don't cut it out cold turkey. But we should be making, always be making positive steps to better our physical health, because our physical health in return will better our spiritual health. So God told him to eat and rest. That's what God, first thing God did, eat and rest. And that's how he wants us to do too. And the Bible says, you know, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Right now I'm glorying hotly. With every bite, I hate exercise too. I mean, with a passion, hate it. I had to do a stress test this recently, and they're like, can you walk on the treadmill? Is there an option? I didn't get the option. I had to walk on the treadmill. And I, as I'm walking, I'm like, I'm counting this as something good. I mean, you know, and the doctor comes in at one point, and I'm like almost running. You know, I'm like breaking a sweat here, and I'm almost running. And the nurse is like, she's where she needs to be. And he went, just let her go a few more minutes. I am dying. I don't exercise. I just don't. I walk up and down my stairs a lot, but that's like the extent of my exercise for the most part. I need to work on that. And he told me I needed to work on that. but know ye not that your body is a temple? We belong to God. So God took care of his physical needs, and we need to know that that's important, ladies. It is important. You know, I love to eat at Olive Garden like nobody's business. But I need to make sure that I'm not dwelling on that stuff more, or I'm not idolizing those physical, my pleasures more than I care about God's caring about me. I'm a temple. Thirdly, God now is going to talk to the spiritual needs. And it says that he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Hor. That must have been an amazing cake. Just saying. It must have been an amazing vanilla with buttercream icing cake. And he came hither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? So now God's talking to him. What are you doing here? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, which is a lie, even I only, it's self-focus, even I only am left. I'm the only one who loves you, Lord. I'm the only one. And behold, or it says, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great strong wind rent the mountains. Man, mighty God passed by. And a strong wind rent the mountains. Okay, that's like earthquake kind of stuff. You know, I don't want to be there for that kind of stuff. But, you know, that's what God is showing himself, right? Well, then the next thing says, but the Lord was not in that wind. What do you mean God wasn't in that wind? Well, let's keep going. And then it says, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. I'm sorry. Okay. And after that, the wind and earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after that, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. And he went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there was a voice, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? So ladies, here we are, mountaintop experience. He's on another mountaintop, right? God has brought him to another mountaintop. And God wants to speak to him. And I am so guilty of going, Lord, if you will just show yourself mighty right here in this big way, let me know that you are God. And he can do that, right? I mean, he's God, right? But you know what he wants? He wants the intimate Holly to listen for him. Not like the drop a sign from heaven, you know, which I've prayed that several times. Lord, just let me know if a billboard passes by, you know. God can probably use that. But his desire for us is the worship of that still small voice. And to think that God, in all of his power, in all of his might, the wind, the earthquake, the fire, but God wasn't in those things. Now, he was the creator of those things, but that's not where he was wanting to dwell with Elijah. That's not where he was wanting to minister to Elijah. I'm getting myself all tangled up here. Our human nature wants an immediate fix. We do. We want it our way. We have the fast food mentality through all of life, you know. I want fast food, but I want it Chick-fil-A style, with kindness. My pleasure. You know, but that's what we want. Lord, here's my problem. Pronto. Let's get it done. Chop, chop. Right? And number one, 40 days. It took 40 days for Elijah to even get to that mountain. And we're like going, Lord, I need out of this valley right now. I need out. And we get overwhelmed just in the thought process of trying to grow. God wants us to pour our complaints out to him, but then he wants us to wait. And for me, this is something the Lord has had to teach me this year. So I have, and when the Lord brought me out of the postpartum depression, let me tell you, there was just this weight gone. Now, I still, 5 years later, almost 6 years later, I still can see my red flags. You know, I can't call it postpartum depression, I don't think. I mean, the girl's going to be six, so I don't know that I can say that. But let me tell you, when my heart gets overwhelmed, I can see these red flags. And my immediate response is sulk. I want to go find a juniper tree and I want to sit down and I just want to cry. Because my flesh likes that, right? I mean, we do. We like pity. We misery. Misery loves company. You know, you've met the person who you're like, don't ask them how they're doing. Right? And I can still see those red flags now. Here's the difference, my reaction to those red flags. So because the Lord has brought me out of that, I don't want to go back. You know, I love where David in the Psalm says, he hath, and I was, again, talking with the young girls yesterday, he hath brought me up out of a miry pit, and he set my feet upon a rock. Who's the rock? Jesus is the rock. And he established my goings. He took me out of that. I was drowning, you know, in a miry pit. You just think, couldn't get out on your own. And he drew us out. You know, he says in the Psalms, he says, he inclined unto me. Jesus leaned. What'd you say? He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to listen. We have an almighty God that the Bible tells us that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We can obtain mercy. But what I had to learn is, even in the dark seasons, so for me right now, I'll just be real, I'm scared of some of the health things that I'm dealing with, or that I don't even know that I'm dealing with. That's really what the problem is. I don't even know what they are. I don't even know what the problem is. And it scares me. But a heart of worship is coming to the Lord and saying, I don't understand, but I know that the Bible says that not all things are good, but that you can work all things together for good. And so, Lord, here I am. Use me. Whatever that may be, however that may be, use me. Use it for me. Use it for you. But then Elijah, the next thing, after God has ministered to the physical, he's ministered to the spiritual, God gives him a mission. You know, he was done. He thought, I'm done. You know, God gave Elijah new direction. And it says, there in 1 Kings, it says, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel something, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. So God gave him a job. Here, I've got a new mission for you. And he said, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by and cast his mantle upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. So when we get down in the pits of despair and we're allowing God to minister to us and to help us grow, we need to take our eyes, stop fixing them on self, fix them on God, and then God is ultimately going to say, now fix them on someone else. And he went after Elisha. And I love what the Bible says after that. It says, I'm sorry, let me find it. It says that Elisha immediately did that. It says he killed the oxen. He fed, get this, what did Elisha do with his oxen? He fed everyone else. So Elisha's heart is to minister. And then it says he ministered to Elijah. So God ministered to Elijah, but then God brought Elisha to also minister to Elisha. So here we are. We pour ourselves into someone else. But ultimately, what's God going to do in return? He's going to give us someone to minister to us. And we feel like we are so alone. And we are. We build up our walls, and we say, I'm not going to let anybody in. I'm tired of being hurt. I'm tired of the feelings. I'm tired of the emotions. So I'm going to just shut everybody out. And God says, I can minister to you, but I can send someone else to minister to you too. But you got to heed the call. You got to do what I've asked you to do. And we need to wake up. We need to get out of the thought process, you know, where woe is me. And again, worship comes from the heart. It's a lifestyle. It's an act towards God of adoration. I am going to worship you. I'm going to worship, and this is where I am in life. Yes, physically, I'm tired of being sick this last year. I'm tired of it. I'm done with it, okay? But I'm not going to worship me. I'm going to worship the healer. He is able. Is he going to choose to do it? I don't know, but guess what? It doesn't matter. Because I'm not worshiping the healing. I'm worshiping the healer. When we're in our problems, our marriages, you know, our children, we see all these things. And praying yesterday, I don't know how many of you are first-timers versus the alumni, but when we prayed through, and even in our prayer time last night, you know, the names of God. So we fixate on self, and God's like, no, fixate on me. Because when you can turn your emotions, your circumstances, your feelings, your life, this mountaintop experience right here, if we go home and hoard it, man, it was so good, it was so good, it was so good, it was so good. And was it good? Mm-hmm. But when I don't pour that into somebody else, ultimately, it can go away. Because the feelings come and go. We are flighty people. Up and down and up and down and up and down. We are women. And poor husbands and sons and men in our life, and, you know, we give them a run for their money. My husband says, Holly, you are a moving target. Just when I think I know you, you're somewhere else. You know? And it's true. I am a moving target. But as we are moving, God doesn't. And as we face a different season in life, God doesn't change. And so when I start worshiping him for who he is and where he is, he doesn't change, right? Briefly, and I'll be done. The woman at the well, she says, the Bible says that Jesus comes to her, and she's talking to him, and she's like, yeah, but we worship here, and they worship there, right? And she's talking about a place. She's talking about a people. And Jesus says, the time has come. And he says that they're not going to worship in those places. He said, but the true believers, he says, they worship God in spirit and in truth. The only way to worship God is, number one, to have his spirit within you. So if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can't worship. It won't work. You have to worship him in spirit and in truth. The Bible tells us that his spirit can bear witness with our spirit. Oh, I love that. We can, like, have communion together, you know? He can feed me cake. But then it says, and in truth. Well, Jesus says, we already know, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. If we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth, are my circumstances truth? Nope. But God is. Is my health truth? I don't even know right now, to be honest with you. I don't even know. Sometimes I think I'm just crazy. I keep telling myself I'm not, but then I don't know. Anyway, but you know what? This is truth. So if I'm going to worship God, it's not a church. That's what Jesus is telling her. It's not a place. You can get your worship on there. Yeah, you can. But it's not in this mountain, and it's not there, and it's not there. It's here. You worship God in spirit and in truth. So when you're walking in the spirit and you're knowing truth, ultimately what's going to happen? You're going to have a heartfelt, a lifestyle of worship. I hope that was an encouragement to you ladies this morning. I don't know why God took everything that I had to say and said it all weekend and made me stay up late last night. I don't understand it. I know that there's a reason, though. And I fought with staying with what the Lord had given me before. And after last night, in our prayer time and just in my prayer time, I don't know who needed that, but I needed that. And so I pray as we close that you, Lord, that you ladies would have a refreshing, that renewal, revival. It doesn't happen in the feelings and in the emotions. It happens in the spirit and in the truth. So let God's truth, let his words dwell in you richly, abundantly. Get our focus off of us, get it on God, get it on others. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just love you so much. And Lord, I just pray that as we enter into this last session, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would keep us awake. Lord, that we would not be tired, but Lord, that you would give us alertness to hear your word. Lord, I pray that you would give us safety as we travel home to our families. Lord, I just pray that you would help our hearts to be sponges, Lord, to absorb everything that we've heard. But Lord, as a sponge is squeezed, it pours back out. Lord, help us to notice people around us. Help us to be the Elisha that is a he loves to minister. He loves to take care of people. Lord, give us a passion and a vision. Give us a calling in our life that would renew and restore and refresh us. Lord, we just love you so much. I praise you. Thank you for this mountain. Lord, help me as I walk through the valley. I just give this to you, and I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.